And then I realize that I'm exhausted and I'm all the way out and I have no fins. And I look back and the shore is really far away.
And I hail my taxi cab and I'm really proud of myself. I get in the cab and I go, Yasu, Karimerasas, Club Principalis Palakalo. That is all the Greek I know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
I'm Jessica Hinken. This week on the podcast, Out Past the Breakers, two stories about venturing way beyond your comfort zone. Before we get started, we want to thank the Park School of Baltimore, which is one of our sponsors. They're a progressive pre-K through grade 12 school located right outside Baltimore. So our first storyteller is Amy Cohen. She has told stories before on the Stoop. On the podcast, she told a story a few years ago about relatives who were traveling from Israel very sick.
they ate bad tuna,
and they ate egg salad.
Oh, bad egg salad.
They had a bad egg salad, and they basically lost a lot of the boundaries that, you know.
And their fluids.
Their fluids. So that story is just very endearing and
graphic.
And very graphic. And here's Amy again, just being what she does incredibly well, which is self-deprecating in a hilarious way.
I like to live my life by saying yes as often as possible and taking reasonable risks and having fun. And I want to live my life going to bed every day and saying, hey, today was fun. Today was a good day. So I got the opportunity to go to Cayman Islands with my husband when he was traveling on business. And he was busy every day, so it was up to me to sort of find my own fun during the day. And I didn't have a car or anything like that. So one thing I really love to do when we go to a place that's in the Caribbean is to snorkel. So I had him drop me off one morning at Cemetery Beach, if you know that place. And I was there alone with one other couple who was there with their child. And that was it. There was nobody else there. And they were snorkeling. And when they came back in, I asked them about it. And they said, oh, it's great. And I said, okay, great. So I go out into the water. And I only had, you know, my mask and the snorkel. I didn't have fins. And I thought, well, you know, that's fine because it's not that deep and it's going to be fine. So I go out into the water. And what I don't know is that they've gone. So now I am literally alone on this very small beach. Nobody can see you because it's kind of tucked back from the road. And I'm swimming out and I'm seeing this great stuff, but it's getting a little rougher and I'm swimming out and out and out. And then I realize that I'm exhausted and I'm all the way out and I have no fins. And I look back and the shore is really far away and there's nobody there. And nobody knows where I am. And I'm thinking, all right, you're an idiot. Because what are you supposed to never do? Swim alone, right? In the open ocean. So I talk myself off the ledge and I just get on my back and I calm myself down and I get myself back to shore. And it takes a really long time. And I don't really remember how I got back to the hotel that was sort of next to where we were. But I get back there. I think I must have just walked because my husband was busy working, so I didn't have the availability of him picking me up. And I thought, okay, I've really learned my lesson. So I go to this hotel that was kind of near where we were staying, and I think, okay, now this is better because there's a lot more people around, and now I can snorkel safely. And so I go out into the water with no fins because I want to say yes, and I want to have fun, and I want to live my life with purpose. And I swim out, and I swim out, and I'm snorkeling, and I go out and out and out. And before I know it, I turn around, and the shore is really, really far away, and I'm exhausted, and I have no fins, and nobody knows that I'm out here. And I'm like, you're an idiot. Again. So I lie on my back, and I calm myself down. I'm like, now I know why people drown when they are exhausted in water, because they're idiots and they go out alone. And so I make my way back to shore, and that is my story of being an idiot, living my life with purpose, but not quite taking reality into account. So that's my story.
What I love about that story is the not once but twice of it. You know, it's like
she just is so, she just knows how bad it sounds. She knows how dumb it was in some ways. And yep, here she did it. Proudly telling it on stage to everyone.
That's awesome. Before we share the next story about venturing beyond your comfort zone, we want to thank Baltimore Magazine at baltimoremagazine.com and also on the newsstand. And you can check out their podcast, Baltimore Boomerang. And we want to thank Golden West on the Avenue in Hamden, a restaurant, a bar, a gathering space for all sorts of really cool events, great food, great drinks, great people. So check them out in Hamden. So Terry Sapp.
Oh, my favorite.
One of my faves.
Oh, my God.
One of my faves.
We love this man so much.
I can't even remember how we first found him, but I do remember the first story he ever shared at the Stoop, which was about cleaning houses San Francisco.
Was that the first one?
I believe it was.
I think it was the second one, but I don't know. You might be right.
I feel like he did that story, which was really great. I mean, you've cleaned houses before,
yes.
So you know, like, you learn a lot about the human condition by doing that. And you actually liked that as a job, didn't you?
I did, yeah. And I would do it again if I weren't so, like, you know, in my career.
Right. Anyway, so at some point after that, he let us know that that he is a mega fan of Twisted Sister.
Mega fan.
I mean,
he is the official Twisted Sister road reporter and tour blogger.
Yeah, and he would show up in his, like, denim jacket with the sleeves ripped off with all of his patches. And he told a really, really beautiful story about kind of being saved by Twisted Sister, mm-hmm. like being bullied in high school, having a terrible time and going home and listening to, like, We're Not Gonna Take It. That's Twisted Sister,
yeah.
right?
Oh, wait, is that Quiet Riot? God bless
Maureen,
America.
Can you check on that and let us know? We're going to get back to you on that. But anyway, but listening to their music and feeling empowered and strong and uplifted, really. So this story is about the lengths that he will go to see Twisted Sister. And talk about going beyond your comfort zone like this is. So please check out this story from Terry Sapp.
So the irony here, I'm the last person that should be talking to you about international travel, or really any travel in general, because I was petrified of travel. I didn't have a car till I was 27. And when I got a car, I wouldn't drive more than 10 miles from home by myself because I was absolutely afraid of getting lost. And for any of you who can relate to being afraid of travel, it's really all about a fear of the unknown. Now, we know that love conquers fear, and I had one love, and that love was 80s heavy metal sensation Twisted Sister. I was a fan since I was 13. They broke my heart when they broke up in 1987. I waited 16 years. They reunited. I got to go see them. They're playing the exotic location, New Jersey. I white knuckle it. I get in the car. I go there. If you've ever been to New Jersey, it's culture shock. Everything is by your parkway exit, right? Your turnpike exit in relation to the Dunkin' Donuts. Left turns are illegal, and they speak a different language. Fortunately for me, I'm fluent in F-bomb. I was bit by the travel bug. I travel now all over the country. I'm going by trains and planes and rental cars. I'm going everywhere. Well, what happened was they became bigger and bigger and bigger. The domestic shows kind of stopped. They're now playing all these giant festivals all over the world internationally. Nothing terrified me more than international travel. But I thought, I gotta go, I bite the bullet, I'm gonna travel internationally, buy a bunch of international tickets. Now, if you've ever traveled internationally, you might have done what all neurotic, terrified international travelers do, and that's register with the embassy to let them know you're coming. And when you do that, you get these nice emails from the Department of State periodically that say, hello, we understand you're going to Greece. Just so you know, there's rioting, there's civil unrest, there are kidnappings and carjackings and murders. Have a nice trip. So So I'm getting all these emails, and I'm getting even more nervous about the international travel thing. But I'm like, I'm going to blend right in. I'm going to eat the food. I'm going to learn the language. And I hail my taxi cab, and I'm really proud of myself. I get in the cab, and I go, Yasu, karimerasas. Club principales, palakalo. That is all the Greek I know. It was, hi, good morning. The principal club, please. And I'm really proud of myself until the cab driver turns around. Eh? Buine club principalis. Where is the club principal? Well, there's a lie that people who travel internationally will tell you to get you to travel internationally. They say, oh, don't worry. Wherever you go, they speak English. That's only true in one country, England. So I'm like, okay, I'm in trouble. I run inside. I get the concierge. I bring her out. She translates. She tells him where the principal club is. Off we go. Cab driver turns around. He apparently knows one English word, and he looks at me sideways and goes, American? And I start to panic, and I'm thinking back to that email, and I went, no, Canadian. I'm from Canada. And he's like, ah. And I went, I start to sing the Canadian national anthem. Oh, Canada. And then I realize I don't actually know the Canadian national anthem. I don't even know if it's in English or it's in French. And I'm thinking, oh, crap, I should have watched more hockey. So I make something up. I'm making stuff. I'm going, oh, Canada, je voudrais ma vie. Which, if you know, it translates badly to, I would like my life. And off we go. That's a good enough for him. We're speeding down the highway. I'm thinking, this is great. I'm going to the Twisted Sister show. All of a sudden, cab driver swerves over three lanes, takes an exit. Now we're off the highway, and we're on a dirt road. And I'm like, this does not look like a rock show. This is not going to be good. And I'm going, oh, I don't like this. And I'm looking, and he's kind of looking at me in the rearview mirror, and I'm thinking, this is it. I'm getting mugged. I'm getting mugged in rural Greece. So I'm like, starting to get a little nervous, and I'm getting antsy, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is definitely not good. We're now on a dirt road. There's 5-foot weeds on both sides of the cab, and I'm thinking, I'm not getting mugged. I'm getting kidnapped. That's what's happening here. And I'm getting antsy. I'm like, all right, I need a plan. What am I going to do? Tuck and roll. That's what I'm going to do. Tuck and roll. I'm going to throw myself out of the cab. I'm going to tuck into a ball. I'm going to roll on the ground. And I'm going to make a beeline for the highway and flag somebody down for safety, right? Well, now he's really watching me in the rearview mirror. And then we're on this dirt road, and the cab's going up and down and up and down. And I'm looking, but we go past a scrapyard, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm not going to get kidnapped. I'm going to get murdered. And I'm thinking, my poor mother. She's not going to have any closure. They're never going to find my body out here. It's these weeds. My bones are going to rot near a scrapyard in these tall weeds. And then I'm like, oh, and a fate worse than death. I'm going to miss the Twisted Sister show. Why couldn't he murder me on my way back from the show? Then I could die happy. So now I'm like, okay, I need a tuck and roll. I'm looking in the mirror. He's looking back at me. And I'm thinking, you son of a bitch, you're not going to get this tourist. Oh, no, I got you. And now he's going faster. He's going 65 miles per hour on the dirt road. The cab is, my head's hitting the top of the cab. I'm holding on with one hand like this on the ceiling, and I'm holding the door with the other. Right? I got the seatbelt unbuckled. I got the lock undone. Okay, we're watching each other. I'm like, this is it. As soon as he slows down, I'm out of this cab. He swings around the corner. I'm thinking, all right, it's go time. He slams on the brakes. I slam into the seat in front of me. I swing open the door of the cab. I throw myself out of the cab. I now stumble out on the dirt road. I look up, and before me stands the club principalis. And I just kind of turn around. I'm covered in sweat. I've left a puddle of sweat in the cab. I probably peed my pants, but I didn't notice. And I just kind of walk over. I pay the cab guy 30 euros. And he just kind of pats me on the shoulder. Pats me on the shoulder as if to say, You stupid Canadian. I only mug the American tourists. Thank you.
Did we find out?
We are confirmed that we're not going to take it is Twisted Sister.
What is Quiet
Me
Wyatt?
Me with a deep cut.
Nice, good job. But now I... What is...
You're saying Quiet Wyatt. Do you know that? Quiet Wyatt. I don't know what did Quiet Riot do. I feel like they did some power ballads, but... Okay. Ryan, can you check on what Quiet Riot's main song is?
The reason why I might have pronounced it that way is because I have... Do you know that I'm still missing this back molar? I have a...
Oh, I'm sorry. You're missing a tooth and that's why you can't talk? I did not know that.
It's okay. But I'm really like, I don't know if I want to get the tooth replaced because it's very expensive. And I feel like at 45, as a woman, honestly, no one's looking at me anyway. So it's totally fine, except for things like that, where I do have a hard time.
So the loss of that tooth affects like some of your words?
It's impacted some of my speech.
I feel like anybody listening who wants to weigh in on this could let Jessica know whether...
If you
how much money are we talking about for this tooth?
Oh, my God. Even just to get... So it's already cost $500 out of pocket, which is not that much. I get that. But the next step is I have to get this very specialized scan that's going to cost $1,500 out of pocket. And that's not even with the tooth implant. So all told, it's going to be like $3,000. Which is a lot of money out of pocket.
So you're not sure it's worth $3,000 to say Quiet Riot correctly.
Correct. Unless if this is what I need to know. Anyone who's listening, if you have noticed that I don't have a tooth, I need for you to be straight with me because no one is telling me if they can tell or not. And anyway, that's just the truth of the matter.
Maybe we should do a show at some point on teeth. And whether they're worth it or not.
Oh, they're so worth it. Give me a break. Come on.
All right. Well, Jessica looks up Quiet Riot's main claim to fame. I want to thank you all for tuning in today and urge you to visit the Wine Source.
Come on, feel the noise.
Come on, feel the noise.
It's spelled N-O-I-Z-E.
Yeah. Come on, feel the noise. I feel bad for Quiet Riot. They haven't really endured.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
Anyway, visit the Wine Source, 3601 Elm Avenue, for all your wine and beer and snack needs. Tell them we sent you. Visit us at stoopstorytelling.com. Find out about upcoming shows. Leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Let Jessica know what you think about
Please.
Her tooth and whether it's
if
worth
you've
it.
Noticed it. Just tell me, be real.
And thanks to Maureen for being our wonderful producer.
With great teeth.
See everybody next week.